We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. Hey, thanks for staying up late with us here on KMOX. We have a lot of fun here on At Your Service, and I'm glad you are with us. And as always, if you want to listen other than just driving around in your car, you know the best way to do that, the best and the easiest way, is just to download the Odyssey app from your app store. It's easy, it's free, and you can take KMOX with you on the go. I think I mentioned last week when I went on vacation in June, or actually in early July, went to Europe. I was listening to KMOX there. It was great. It was easy. It was free. And it works obviously everywhere. So download the Odyssey app. And you can also even listen to other podcasts, catch earlier shows. It's fantastic. So make sure that you check that out. Today is, I got to tell you, I went back in time a little bit today because I saw that it was Billy Ray Cyrus's birthday. Now, I don't know that anybody under the age of 45, even Matt Pajeski, do you even know who Billy Ray Cyrus is?
I know who he is, but not for the reason that you think I know him. I know him as he was the dad on a kids show, Hannah Montana.
Oh, yeah. But,
he,
you know,
the dad. Yeah.
But he was really Miley Cyrus's dad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So he played her dad on the show. Was her dad in real life. But I think when I was in college, I think he was rocking the mullet in the 80s. He was really rocking that mullet haircut, and he turns 61 years old today. So, you know, let your hair grow out, grow a mullet, just in honor of Billy Ray Cyrus. Also on this day today, Ted Kennedy. He died on this day. No, he did not have a mullet. He died on this day in 2009. Here's what's interesting to me. He was the man that so many people hoped would and really had prayed to be the next president. He ran against Jimmy Carter, which was kind of unheard of to try to run in a primary against a sitting president. But he did it, and actually he did pretty well in the primary. Of course, that was the year that Carter got slaughtered by Ronald Reagan. But he was only 77 years old when he died. Now, at the time, seemed like he was kind of an old guy when he died. But now he's 2 years younger than our current president, President Biden. So, yeah, Ted Kennedy, maybe he should have ran for president again. Of course, he was not like his brother. He was not like his brother, President John F. Kennedy, who I think today would be a Republican. Think about it. John F. Kennedy, when he was elected, he ran on a campaign of lowering taxes and building up our military defenses against the Soviet Union. I mean, if you did that today, you're a Republican. So there you go. Ted Kennedy died on this day in 2009. Speaking of President Biden, and we're going to dive into this topic in the 8:35 and after we come out of the 8:30 break. We're going to dive into this topic a lot deeper. But yesterday, President Biden announced the cancellation of $10,000 in student debt. So it's actually, if you've got one of those Pell Grants, it's actually $20,000, which is amazing. But he's just decided to unilaterally cancel $10,000 in student debt. Now, there's 8 million reasons why that's a bad idea. And we will certainly dive into that in more detail. But as I was thinking about this today, it occurred to me that, well, if Biden is just wanting to cancel debt, if he's just all worked up about debt cancellation, well, what are some other debt cancellation things that he could do? I mean, why stop at student loans? Okay, if you're just gonna wave your magic president wand and cancel debt right and left, what are some other things? So, I did think of some. How about waiving all of the casino debt? So the argument goes, if we eliminate student loan debt, so people have more money to spend on other things, well, how about all the people that lose tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting at the slot machines at casinos? Hey, let's just eliminate all that debt. And look how much more money that would give them to blow at the casino. You know, I don't think they're in there playing Baccarat like James Bond at Monte Carlo. You know, they're plugging quarters into the slot machine. Let's just eliminate it. Just get rid of it. They'd have a lot more money to spend at the casino. But here's an idea that I think all Americans can embrace. That whatever you still owe on your iPhone, let's just eliminate that debt. Because when you signed up for your iPhone, I know this was the case when I bought mine, you get like 72 payments of $100 a piece. And if the president can just wave his magic debt wand and make it go away, let's eliminate that. Because anytime you go and upgrade your phone, they tell you you owe like more money on the phone than what the purchase price was. I don't even know how that works. I'm not too bad with math, but I still don't understand that math. Here's another thing. Let's just cancel the national debt of Ukraine. We can just call it, well, it's for democracy. Just, we're going to eliminate their national debt. Or I've got two more ideas, and then, of course, you'll be spared because we'll have to go to a commercial break. But how about the $12,000 you lost last year in Bitcoin? I know some people who've lost a lot of money in Bitcoin this year, and they would certainly be in favor of it. But finally, how about that $458,000 hospital bill that you have just because you went to the hospital to get your temperature checked? Just have Biden just eliminate that. Wipe it off the books. Why not while you're already at it? Later in the show, again, we're going to dive further into this debt forgiveness debacle. But coming up after the break, we're going to go to a break right now. And coming up after that, we're going to look at what changes Facebook is making as we start the final stretch into the midterm elections. Brad Young this evening sitting in here on At Your Service on Camo X.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Y'all remember the 2016 election? After that election, there were a lot of folks on the left who were alleging that misinformation on Facebook led to Hillary Clinton's defeat in her bid for the presidency. Now, during the years that followed, there's been a growing concern about too much censorship on social media platforms, but also a lot more misinformation, not even subjective, but objective misinformation is out there, and it's a problem. So now that the midterm elections are just over 2 months away, how is Facebook gearing up for the election in terms of monitoring or even censoring content? How are they doing that? So joining us this evening to break this down is political analyst Anthony Russo. He's actually a St. Louis native who now lives in Texas. I don't know why you'd ever want to move to Texas from St. Louis, but you did. And he's also the host of the new podcast, Blunt Force Discussion. And this guy's talented. He's even a clothing designer, founder of the hashtag Be The Change clothing. Anthony Russo, thanks so much for joining us this evening on Camo X.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
It's great to talk to you. You know, it's funny, we were swapping emails for this interview and found out that we grew up very close together. I mean, my house is not a stone's throw away, and my law office is real close to where I believe it was your mom or your dad was working. So it's truly
a
small world.
Right there. Yeah, very small. And are you going to sing like you did in the email or no?
You know, the only I get requests when I sing, but the only request I get is to stop singing. So no, I will not be doing that. But hey, thanks for making time for us tonight. The Facebook parent company Meta, they announced a plan this week to combat election meddling. What was that announcement?
Yeah, so they came out and said that they are going to further their efforts from the 2020 election, that they're still saying that they did the best that they could. Obviously, we believe as though it's one-sided. I think some of us believe as though it was more one-sided than the other. They touted the fact that they had 270 white supremacist groups on Facebook that had been shut down in 2022. Again, we could decipher what white supremacist is according to the Department of Justice and Facebook. And essentially, they're just doing a massive crackdown. They've elicited 10 different independent, quote unquote, independent fact checker organizations such as PolitiFact, Reuters, FactCheck.org, AFP, USA Today. And ultimately, they're just going to keep furthering their control of information and misinformation, which even more so today, I think, poses an issue knowing Zuckerberg was talking on the Joe Rogan show essentially of what happened with the Hunter Biden laptop in 2020.
Right.
So the question becomes, what is misinformation to them?
Well, that's exactly right, because there's a phrase, and I think it was also the title of a Star Trek Next Generation episode, who watches the watchers? Mm. So when Facebook announces that they're going to crack down on election meddling, isn't this just a subjective determination as to what really amounts to election meddling?
Exactly. And I've been doing a lot of the interviews specifically about this subject, and people go, well, how can you improve it? What can make it better? First off, I don't think there is anything. I think we have to kind of accept the fact that Facebook is in the pocket of the Department of Justice and probably the Biden administration. But why not give a fair break of it? And I'm sure Breitbart's of the world, Epic Times of the world would love to have their hand in creating a little bit of an outline like, hey, it's got to be agreed to by both sides. It's not going to happen. But when we're not watching the overlords, you can see what will happen. And the FBI, according to Zuckerberg, the FBI directed Facebook to make sure that Russian misinformation would get in the last election. He stumbled over the words, but he hinted pretty heavily that was the Hunter Biden laptop story, which would have been, as polls have shown, would have been a game changer leading up to the previous election. So I think we're about to be facing much the same as 2020 coming into these midterm elections.
Well, we're talking to political analyst Anthony Russo, host of the new podcast, Blunt Force Discussion. And Anthony, everyone knows that the First Amendment, freedom of speech, only applies to government action, not the actions of private companies. But I don't know if you've been following the lawsuit that's filed by the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, against the White House, alleging that the White House has colluded and continues to collude with social media companies to censor speech, which, if proven, would mean that they are really acting at the direction of the federal government. You alluded to that just a moment ago. Have you been following that lawsuit at all?
I haven't been following the lawsuit probably as much as you have, as I know that you're a lawyer, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen it. It falls under the exact same category, where you're looking at a company like Facebook that is clearly in – people always use the phrase, well, they're a private company. They're allowed to do what they want. I think when we look at stuff – and I think that's why the lawsuits are starting to come up. If we – and Chad Prather was one of them in Texas that actually sued Facebook and won. there is an overreach, an egregious overreach of their power, knowing the fact that they are the town square, Twitter, mm-hmm. Facebook,
sure.
et cetera. This is where people get their information. And based on what that lawsuit, I'm assuming, shows, and I'd love you to give a little blurb and tell me what exactly it's saying.
Well, I'll email you tomorrow. I'll email you a copy of the complaint and some of the ancillary documents because it's fascinating.
Yeah. Anything that goes on in the social media world in terms of information, it's so different than it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was a place where there was little bits of information here and there, and we still watch CNN. We still watch Fox News. We still believe that that was where we're getting our information. People say, oh, I don't trust the mainstream media, so I just trust my friends on social media. Well, the interesting thing is social media is getting their information. It's just a funneled down system that starts still with mainstream media. It's just mm-hmm. all the same. And unfortunately, it's a game of telephone then of multiple media entities that are just providing what they believe is information or misinformation. And unfortunately, the only thing that gets caught by the net is anything conservative.
Isn't that interesting? That's the point that I talk about with my liberal friends, Anthony, is I say, isn't it interesting that the only misinformation that ever gets censored is information on the right? Nothing on the left ever gets censored. How do you think that happens? And of course, there's no answer. But Facebook and other social media companies, they blocked, and you even referenced it a moment ago, that early discussion of the Hunter Biden laptop story, or even the COVID-19 was leaked from a lab story. And all of those were censored. And there's others, which later turned out to be either true or potentially true, or perhaps substantially true. We're still trying to find that out. So why can't Facebook, because they're fantastic at algorithms, try to do things that are objectively false? Like, for example, if someone says, don't forget to vote, the election is November 1st this year. Okay, that's objectively false. But it's not objectively false that says, well, masks may not provide total protection against COVID-19 because of the size of the virus. Why can't Facebook do those kinds of algorithms?
Well, what's interesting is, according to Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan, they kind of can. He alluded to the fact that they're able to mostly have an AI experience that does cut that stuff out. One of the things that Meta did say in their blurb is they were going to prevent from the blatant misinformation of when voting is, to try to make sure people miss their actual election date and all that stuff. But they have, let's be clear, they've got the ability to do it.
Of course
they're choosing not to. And you look at some of the other stuff, get away from the election, the people that should be getting caught before they're doing mass shootings and creating all these different things, somehow that slips through the cracks when in all reality, any Tom, Joe, and Harry could have seen that these things were going to happen. Yet they managed to make sure that mask information is a little bit squashed. And he was very clear that they don't get rid of information. They just algorithmically shrink it. And I don't know if you saw the clip with him and Rogan yet, but he talked about the fact that it was a significant amount that they squashed the Hunter Biden story. They allowed it to be shared, but they squashed the algorithm. And by the way, YouTube just yesterday lifted their restriction on talking about mask efficacy, which I had two strikes for that. So I wonder if those strikes will go away.
Yeah, hey, that's a good point. Yeah, I've been kicked off of YouTube a couple of times as well. So we're in good company. We're talking to political analyst Anthony Russo, host of the new podcast, Blunt Force Discussion. You remember earlier this year, there was this atrocious Orwellian concept called the Disinformation Governance Board, which literally sounds like, I mean, George Orwell, if he were alive, should sue over that because it's straight out of 1984. And of course, the White House proposed this and then they scrapped it. What do you think is the political fallout from that? I mean, what are the pros and cons? Did this hurt the White House's effort? Did it help them? What do you see as the fallout from this attempt to create literally a truth bureau?
I think the fallout is short. The voter, everybody thinks in a short term. Americans think short term. That was long enough ago that it's already far in the rearview mirror. I mean, for God's sake, Eric Swalwell is still serving in our government, and he was with Chinese spy. We forget about things so incredibly fast. What matters is the 3 months leading up to the election, and which is why I think the Hunter Biden laptop story was so important, that quote-unquote October surprise. So I think that's a distant memory. And right now, I've also been doing some interviews on whether or not the red wave will happen or not, and if it's in question. And as of right now, Joe Biden is touting the positives of his administration. His approval rating, I can tell you, will probably in the next poll go up one or two points.
Oh, it did. It skyrocketed today. I read today. It skyrocketed to 44%.
Okay, so it did. I knew it would go up a few points. I called that one. I haven't
you
seen
did.
The news today. Yeah. So I've been hosting a motivational summit. But anywho, so with that said, he's going to be touting the fact that inflation has slowed down, and he'll say that they've stopped inflation, which it's still year over year terrible. They'll talk about gas prices down, still year over year terrible, but they'll talk about that. And people are going to remember what's going on right now. And they're looking at the Donald Trump story, which all these Republican candidates are the ones that won their primaries. 95% of them are Trump people. Trump is now, quote unquote, under investigation, even though it could be complete nonsense. The media that they watch is going to share and share and share, and they're going to be showing the fact that, see, we finally got him, even though there's no indictments, there's no real information yet, and it's all in question. So people are going to be separated based on their media, and unfortunately right now, I don't see a red wave happening. I do still think that the Senate and the House will end up becoming red, but I don't think it'll be an overwhelming majority, which hopefully, by the way, will at least stop the student loan forgiveness.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, you might want to catch the Odyssey.com app, because we're going to be talking about that in the next segment. We're talking, of course, to political analyst Anthony Russo, host of the new podcast, Blunt Force Discussion. And Anthony, tell us about this podcast and where can folks catch it?
Yeah, you can find it at Blunt Force Discussion on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, at Blunt Force Discussion. We've had some great guests. We had Chad Prather, Officer Tatum, Shemaine Nugent, some really big names already on the show. You can find it in any of those locations.
Fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight on Camo X St. Louis. And next time you make it back home here to St. Louis, give me a call.
Absolutely. Go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals. Great to talk to you. Hey, when we come back from this break, we're going to dive into this student loan forgiveness issue, the pros, the cons, and even the legality of what President Biden proposed yesterday. So you're going to want to stick around. Brad Young at your service, Camo X.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, as everybody's heard, President Biden announced yesterday a $10,000 forgiveness of student loan debt for those students who earn less than $125 per year. Is this a good idea? Is it not a good idea? So joining us this evening to explain exactly what this means is Adam Kissel, visiting fellow in the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Hey, Adam, thanks for joining us this evening on Camo X.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm an attorney, Adam, so I understand the importance of using precise words. And isn't this really, it's not a forgiveness of debt or an elimination of debt. Isn't this really a transfer of debt?
It is. So the money is still owed. And if the people who owe the money aren't paying it, somebody else is paying it. So it's a transfer from the people who made the obligation and agreed to the debt to the people who didn't agree to the debt. That includes everybody who didn't go to college and is still a taxpayer. That includes people who went to college and paid off their debt and now have to pay off somebody else's debt. And it includes future taxpayers, future college goers who are going to be paying for the hundreds of billions of dollars of transfer that they're now responsible for.
Yeah, to me, it's just mind-boggling that the majority of Americans with college degrees earn a lot more in most cases than those without college degrees. But doesn't this transfer of debt, doesn't it just transfer this debt onto people who never even went to college? Now they're having to pay for someone else to go to college.
It's really a pretty sad situation, and you've named it. It's still true that if you go to college and you finish your degree, you probably make around $1 million over the course of your lifetime, more than someone who didn't. And those are the people who are getting debt relief or having their debt canceled or getting the bailout, whatever you call it. And those of us who either paid off our debt or, again, didn't go to college are the ones who are paying. So if you're a plumber, you might be making more than that gender studies graduate, but you're paying for that gender studies graduate's college education.
Wow, that's got to make his day. Adam Kissel, visiting fellow in the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Let's talk about fairness. How is this action taken by President Biden? How is this just a slap in the face to those like myself who worked hard? I borrowed all the money I could borrow to get through law school. I paid it off. But how is this action a slap in the face to millions of Americans who did the same thing? They worked hard and they paid off the obligation that they agreed to take on. How is this a slap in their face?
Well, the way you said it is the way it is, right? So if you worked hard, or maybe you were in the military and you're on the GI Bill and you deserved that benefit because of what you earned, or if you worked hard, and in fact, I just heard from a friend who said, I didn't go to my college graduation because I was going to lose my job because I had to work that day. So now you're saying to that person, well, here's another person who partied through college and maybe they didn't even finish. Maybe they dropped out. And they're going to have $10,000 or $20,000 of their debt forgiven. And that is a pretty, pretty harsh slap in the face.
Yes.
So, but that's not the only inequity, right? So it's right now a one-time program. So if you graduated in a certain year or have debt from a certain year, you get some forgiveness. You get your bailout. If you're the younger brother of that same person in the same family a few years later, you don't get it. And you know how much kids pay attention to fairness for their siblings.
Sure.
Well, now say my older brother got $20,000 because the Biden administration gave it to them, but I don't. And I'm going to have to work hard. So then what happens? Maybe it happens a second time some years from now, right? Because we're not going after the core problem, which is the debt in the first place, how it comes to be. How does it come to be? Well, government gives you easy money. So colleges raise tuition, and then you get more subsidy, and then you get higher tuition, and you have this vicious circle of tuition and subsidy, tuition and subsidy. So the problem is that the core problem is that the government is in the game in the first place, right?
Absolutely.
Easy money.
Absolutely. And you touched on this, Adam, but isn't this now going to create an expectation that every few years, college people who run up college debt are going to say, hey, all those kids in 2022 got their debts absolved and forgiven, which we know really just transferred to the national debt. But they're going to say, why can't we get it? Isn't this going to create a rolling expectation for essentially free college in America?
It is. And it creates a moral hazard because more and more people will take financial risks on themselves and their education that they normally wouldn't have taken, because they'll say to themselves, oh, the next Democrat president, I'll just get some more forgiveness, so I'll take this extra risk. So you might drop out rather than stay in college. You might take out more debt than otherwise you would have. And colleges will gladly take your money, so they'll keep raising tuition based on more people wanting to go to college and taking that extra risk. There's already far too much money going into the four-year college system with people who colleges know are not going to finish. With six-year graduation rates at something like 50% at a four-year college, you're still not done, half of you 6 years later. So instead, those terrible incentives incentivize people to go to two-year colleges or take apprenticeships or do something better with their life if they know that college isn't for them. Don't tell them that they have to go to college to be a good person. They don't.
No, they don't. But this also raises yet another issue. Of course, we're talking to Adam Kissel, visiting fellow at the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Two of my three daughters have already graduated from college. My youngest daughter is a sophomore this year at the University of Missouri in Columbia. So I only mention that, Adam, to say I've seen firsthand how college costs every year go up 3 to 5 times the rate of inflation. And of course, they're building a new rec center, and they're building a pool with a lazy river, and they're building all these things to cater to kids to draw them there. But if we're just going to eliminate student debt, isn't this really going to make students take on more debt if they think it's going to be eliminated, and then give it to the college, which is going to have to increase those tuition costs? This is going to increase the rate of inflation on college campuses for the foreseeable future.
That's been happening for decades, and it's going to continue to happen. In fact, there was a study not that many years ago done by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and that study found that for every dollar of extra subsidy going into tuition, colleges raise their tuition by 60 cents. So you're automatically losing 60% of the subsidy trying to make it more affordable. And in fact, you're making college less affordable. And what you've seen happen, right? So my parents, when they were in college a generation ago at a public university in Delaware, which happens to be the same one that the president is from.
Interesting.
They were paying hundreds of dollars per term, $600 a term, $800 a term. That was before we had these massive public subsidies going to tuition. I don't know what University of Delaware costs now, but nothing like that. So it's regular inflation, but then, as you say, additional inflation of college tuition due to the interference with the market from the government.
Ah, that's so true. Adam Kissel with the Heritage Foundation. Last question. This bailout, of course, makes no sense economically. I think Lawrence Summers, the Treasury Secretary of President Clinton, even said this is going to add to the inflationary pressures. It's going to add to the debt. If you add to the debt, it's going to increase interest rates. It's going to affect everyone negatively economically. But there really isn't the bottom line of this is that it makes sense from a political perspective to energize younger voters to go out and vote for Democrats if suddenly they're getting free money.
Well, I do think this is primarily a political move. What's interesting is that it's very risky, because if you are on the farther left, you say $10,000, that's hardly enough. I wanted $50,000, or I wanted full transfer, full forgiveness. So he's getting a lot of heat, President Biden is, from the left. And of course, he's getting a lot of heat from the center and the right, who say it should have been zero. And then you have all of the people who say this is unfair. It's the less educated, less wealthy people giving up their dollars to the more educated, more wealthy. And the people who feel like they were slapped in the face. So it's a real risk. It's hard to see which constituency really is going to be voting for him that wasn't going to be voting for the Democrats in the first place. And by the way, the whole scheme is unlawful. I have to add this before we close. The government is relying on emergency powers that were first given to the Secretary of Education in 2003, the HEROES Act of 2003. And their argument is that the Secretary of Education can waive any rule he or she wants for the sake of helping people recover financially from a national emergency. Well, at the same time, the president is saying the COVID emergency is over. That's why he changed the rules at the border. But somehow there's exactly $10,000 worth of economic harm for all the people who have student loans. And somehow it's exactly $20,000 if you had a Pell Grant at any time in the past. So these are just arbitrary made-up numbers that have no relation. It's entirely capricious. It's entirely political, as you started the question with, and that's how we should see this move.
Yeah, and in fact, later on in the show, I'm going to be breaking down the concept, the constitutional law concept of the major questions doctrine, meaning, and we've seen the Supreme Court this last term address this many, many, many times, that agencies cannot unilaterally take action unless they're given specific direction by Congress, and that clearly hasn't happened here. Adam Kissel, if folks want to follow what you write, where can they find you online? Hello.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just asking if folks want to follow what you write online about this issue and other education-related issues, where can they find you?
They should go to heritage.org, and they could also go to the Cardinal Institute for West Virginia Policy, where I'm a senior fellow. And either of those places, you'll be able to find where I am and start to see some of the things I've written.
Fantastic. Adam Kissel with the Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for joining us this evening on KMOX.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, do you think phone lines are open? Do you think this is a good move? Is it fair? Is it the right thing? Or is this just a travesty of economics and designed solely to buy votes? Give us a call. Text lines are open. I've gotten lots of texts this evening. 314-436-7900. KMOX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the last segment here in this hour of At Your Service. Brad Young sitting in. Glad you are with us. One of the things that Adam Kissel mentioned from the Heritage Foundation that he mentioned in that interview in the last segment, and he mentioned it just briefly, but about how there will be some challenges to this student loan situation where they're just being transferred. Again, it's not a forgiveness. It's just a transfer of debt from individuals to the entire country, including people that didn't even go to college, people that may not be able to afford to go to college, but now they're going to be paying for someone else to go to college. It just makes no sense. But in terms of the legal challenge to this, it's not all that complicated. Even Adam Kissel mentioned it. There's something called the HEROES Act. And this HEROES Act goes back to 2003. And it states that in a time of national emergency, the Department of Education can, under certain circumstances, and there's a long list of circumstances in this statute, they can pause or eliminate debt. So the question's going to be, is that a sufficient delegation of authority? Now, I don't want to dive too deeply into this. This is not constitutional law 101 here, but it's very simple. Here's the concept. It's called the major question doctrine. And it's essentially this. It's in situations where administrative agencies act, did they have the congressional authority to do what they're doing? Now, this makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because Congress makes the law and the executive branch enforces the law. We had the exact same problem here in St. Louis County, where the county executive, Sam Page, was unilaterally taking action, closing businesses, responding in a very draconian way to the pandemic in a way that the county council, the legislative body of St. Louis County, never authorized. And those were challenged repeatedly. And in fact, I believe Eric Schmidt won a majority of those. So it's not that these rules are necessarily, or these issues that they're trying to advocate, are necessarily bad or are good. It doesn't matter. What matters is, does the agency have the authority to act? Because if they don't, that's tyranny. And if you look at what the Supreme Court did this very term, the mask mandate for airlines, the vaccine mandate through OSHA, the eviction moratorium, and even as recently as June 30, where the court struck down EPA rules with regard to Clean Air Act, those were designed to make sure that Congress delegates authority. And this case will be challenged on that basis to see if Congress intended. Even Nancy Pelosi said Congress never intended the president to do this. She said that as recently as April. So we'll be testing that in the courts this next term to see if, in fact, that once again, Biden is going off acting rogue in a way that's unconstitutional. Brad Young, At Your Service, coming up next hour. Phone lines open the most of the hour, 314-436-7900, KMOX.